Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, October the 12th. This is 11-12. Today is the birthday of Lindsay Rickard. Amen. And I hope Lindsay has a happy birthday today. Tomorrow will be the birthday of Brother Robert Dockery, and I hope he has a great birthday tomorrow. Today also happens to be the wedding anniversary of Benjamin and Whitney Shepherd. That's our youngest son and his wife. And then today is the wedding day of Joshua and soon to be Katie Shepherd. Amen. And so we're excited for that. That's their oldest son and his wife as of today. That tonight they'll be getting married. So hope you'll remember them in your prayer as well. Today also marks 4 years since I became the pastor, the first Sunday that I became the pastor of the Island Ford Baptist Church. And so we're grateful and thankful for the Lord for that. I'm telling you, that doesn't seem like it could be 4 years already, but I'm thankful unto the Lord for his blessings and his grace in that. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I do have a song queued up right here ready as soon as I finish praying. Got the Shepherd family singing, "I Have Been Blessed." Great song, great truth. Amen. We certainly have been blessed. But if you will, pray with me at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the blessings of God. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we're excited about this wedding coming up this evening. Lord, I pray you'd bless in that. Thank you, Lord, for the birthday. Lindsay having a birthday today. I pray bless her. Bless Brother Dockery, his birthday tomorrow. I pray, Lord, bless Ben and Whitney and their anniversary today. Lord, I pray bless the church, Island Ford Baptist Church, as today's our fourth anniversary, me being the pastor there, and we're grateful for that. But, Lord, we're looking forward to the Lord's Day, Sunday. I pray, Lord, you'll help people to come in, get the help they need. Lord, I pray you'd use this broadcast right now. Accomplish your will and your work, Lord, that the word might go forth, good seed, fall in good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Malachi chapter number 2. And verse number 17 is where we start with again today. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" That's my phrase that I'm dealing with this whole series. Where is the God of judgment? Verse 1 of chapter 3, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Jump to chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3 again for our text today. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Dealing with this thought, where is the God of judgment? And it seems to me as if Israel was questioning there, why are we seeing the wicked prosper and the godly are in poverty? It seemed like that was the statement that they had on their mind. And they were questioning, why is God not doing something about it? Where we're living in a world that seems to have gotten the conclusion, God's not going to do anything about anything. Everything's going to be all right. They're going to get by with everything. But the Bible tells us they're not going to get by. Amen? Malachi answered back to them when they asked the question, where is the God of judgment? The very next verse he said, judgment is coming. Amen? And Jesus is coming, and when he comes, He's coming in judgment. We've been preaching through this and talking and thinking about the fact we're at the end of it. We're talking about the fact that when He comes, He's going to deal in judgment to the sinner, but He's going to deal in justice to the saved. He's going to give the saved what God has reserved for them. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's what he's talking about here in Malachi. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And by the way, I want to remind you, that's not his blood. That's the blood of his enemies. Amen. And the name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's me and you, praise God. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That sounds like what the bride's clothed in, don't it? Amen. That's us coming back, I believe. Clothed in raiment, white, fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great King, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the great battlefield when Christ comes riding back and defeats the devil, amen. Defeats the false prophet, defeats the Antichrist on that day. I recognize the devil's going to be loosed after a little season. I understand it, or loosed for a little season after that 1,000 years. But on that day, the Antichrist will be put down. The world powers will be put down. That great image which Nebuchadnezzar saw with a head of gold and saw the shoulders of silver, and goes on down the belly and the thighs and the feet of iron and clay mixed, and that great stone comes rolling down and crushes it to pieces, the Bible said, amen. And on that day we'll stand and rejoice and say, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. We'll say, great is our God, mighty in battle is our God, amen. We'll rejoice in that victory, because Malachi said, we'll trample under feet the ashes. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. Notice Malachi 4:3. I want you to notice that one phrase particularly. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day, here's the phrase I want to say, that I shall do this. I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I reminded you, or I mentioned to you, I'll remind you now, that when you see the phrase Lord of Hosts, that's talking about the God of armies. It's talking about the angry God. The God with His armies behind Him. And He's saying, I'm the one doing this. It's not that you and I have the power to put down evil, but it's that He has the power to put down the evil, and we get to rejoice in the victory. Amen. Verse 3 is a reality because of verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The reason there's ashes is because the Son of Righteousness has arisen, but not with healing for the wicked. The healing was offered in this dispensation. On that day, there's no healing offered, only judgment. But the reason that we'll be enabled to tread down the wicked, and the reason there'll be ashes under our feet, is because the day has burned them as an oven. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The wicked shall be stubble, because the Lord is going to burn them up with judgment. And that's just talking about in this life. That's not talking about forever and ever. They're going to burn constantly, continually, forever and ever. But that's talking about the wicked that are alive then. He's going to burn them to death on this earth. Amen. And we'll actually be walking, when we're walking through those ashes, we'll be walking in the victory. Amen. Some of you saw, they posted it on Facebook, different places. When Daniel's house burned, our middle son's house burned, he was going back through getting stuff, what he could find. He had some knives that the fire was so hot, it actually melted and ruined those knives. He had a lot of things got lost to that. But he had a Bible that was in the hottest part of the fire that survived. Amen. Now, he had some other books there that probably didn't make it. And I don't know if it had made it if it hadn't been a King James, but it made it. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. You want to survive the fire? You got to be built on the Word of God. You got to, amen, you got to be anchored in the Son of God. Not just have the Word in front of you. I'm talking about having the Word in you. The living Word living in you. Amen. That day's coming to burn as a fire. Now, we will actually be walking in His victory. Here's what happened now. I don't know how, why this is. If you're a ball team lover, and I'm not trying to be ugly or be mean to you, but here's what happens if you're a ball team lover. You're watching a game, and your team loses. And you know what you say? Well, that quarterback messed up, or that coach messed up, or that fella missed that free, whatever. You got a reason. They messed up. Boy, the team wasn't up to snuff today. But if they win, it ain't never they won. We won! And then what you say? We won! You didn't pass one pass. You didn't shoot one free throw. But because you was pulling for them, because you was on that side, we won. And that's how we feel, isn't it? First time my wife and I ever went out by ourselves on a date, we double dated with a couple. And I'm not for dating. I'm not promoting dating. We didn't know better. That's where we was at. And we double dated with a couple. And this particular night, they were at a ball game, that other couple, and it was, she went to one high school and I went to another. The boy and that other couple went to the same school I went to. The girl went to the same school she went to. And it was West against North. And that's who was playing the ball game. And we went there after the ball game to pick them back up. And it was a football game and it just had gone into overtime. And I walked in there. Me and her walked in. We were on North High's side. And we walked in and they're on the bleachers. So we walk up and find our place next to them. And West High kicked a field goal right at the last few seconds. And everybody sitting over there with their lips stuck out except two boys. And we didn't know no better. We was rednecking up and say, wow, wow. We never kicked a ball. We never caught a ball. But we won. Amen. Now, I said all that to get to this spiritual point. I hope I can pull us out of that back to a spiritual point. When Jesus comes back again, we will be on the winning side. I don't know all what we will be doing. I personally don't imagine that we'll just be sitting back there just looking around. We may have swords and we may be involved in the battle. Matter of fact, I hate the devil bad enough. I'd like to get involved a little bit, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd like to ride down the streets of San Francisco on a white horse with a sword in my hand. Amen. I'd like to ride down through Washington, D.C., amen, on a white horse with a sword in my hand. I know it's going over there ways. I ain't talking about today. Praise God. I'm talking about when Jesus comes, amen. Amen. The whole point, Malachi said, you're going to be rescued, but in that rescue, we're going to be winners. There's going to be a promotion over the whole thing. We're going to be able to enjoy the victory with our Lord because of what He has done. There was a time when the workers of iniquity brought fear to us. Amen. You've probably been in some places. You've had times somebody knock on your door and that maybe they was tattooed all over and had earrings hanging out, looked like it fell in a tackle box, somebody said, and it brought a little fear to you. Amen. What about the Christians down through the centuries that they were actually hunted. They were actually haunted by the wicked that came there doing their best to try to entrap them and try to bind them and bring them to prison. Maybe even bring them to a martyr's stake. I'm telling you, the wicked has scared us. They've haunted us and they've hunted us down through the ages. But the day's coming when we will not fear the wicked. We'll be able to put our foot on their necks because we'll be victors because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now I'm closing with this thought. The tone of the prophet Malachi is not one of glory and over the fate of the wicked, but rather a rejoicing over the removal of the hindrance which the wicked continually put in the way of God and His righteousness. Amen. The point that I'd like to dwell on is not the distress of the wicked, not from their personal suffering, not the fact that they've been defeated, so to speak, that way, but that they have been made helpless under the mighty hand of God. I've heard people say, "Boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give God a piece of my mind." They said the group Pink Floyd years ago, they made the comment in an interview that they were taking karate. And here's what they said. They said, "When we get to heaven and we see the big man upstairs," they said, "we're going to give him a bloody nose." Now God's going to laugh at them when He flicks them off where they're going. Amen. Amen. That's right. You're not going to give God no bloody nose. And you're not going to give God no back talk. Amen. When that day comes, He's going to have every mouth stopped. And all the world will confess they're guilty before God. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. We may rejoice that the wicked are made helpless by the triumph of goodness. Amen. Now, I've read that in AD 73, after the destruction, AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. You know, there was an uprising. The Jews had an uprising, revolt against the Roman power. My understanding from things I've read, Rome actually, and I forgot the exact place where they went, but Titus went and landed in that area a little bit north of Israel and gathered Arabian troops, Arabs, and marched on Jerusalem. And burned Jerusalem. Destroyed the temple and the artifacts. That's what the Muslims are doing over yonder right now. Nothing changed much. But they did that in AD 70. They say that in AD 73, when Christians returned. By the way, Christians were not just hated by the Romans. They were hated by the Jews too. They were persecuted in Jerusalem by the Jews and by the Romans. But they said when the Christians came back in AD 70 to Jerusalem, they literally walked on the ashes of those that had opposed them in days gone by. That was a partial fulfillment. But there's a day coming, according to this King James Bible, there's a day coming when Jesus is going to destroy the wicked with the word from His mouth. Amen. With the sword out of His mouth. And that day will fully dawn. And these verses will be complete. Amen. In this present economy, the day we're living in now, we see that the wicked are enabled to promote their ungodliness and their unrighteousness. It seems like on every hand and every avenue because of their quote-unquote freedom of speech. Because their quote-unquote rights, they can promote their wickedness. While at the same time, trampling on the freedom of speech of the righteous. Trampling on the rights of the righteous. But one day, the Bible says, things are going to change. Today, we cry for the wicked to turn to Christ. Amen. Today, we cry for the wicked to come to Him for cleansing, for healing. But we warn you, there's a day coming when there'll be no healing. There'll be no cleansing. There'll be only judgment. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in right there. But I wonder, friend, as we were coming down to the end of that message and we were getting ready to give what we know as the invitation proclamation, inviting sinners to come to Christ, I wonder if there might be somebody that's listening today and that invitation needs to go out to you. You're not ready for that day to come. You're not ready for the fact that when Jesus comes back, it'll be too late to call on Him then. Amen. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. I tell you, you ought to run to Jesus. Flee to Jesus. Call on Jesus before it is too late. Well, that finishes today's message and the message this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.